going to do some thinking about getting on with the job. Do you have a vision? Do you have a burden? Can you see the need to do one-on-one discipling? Do you see the need to be yourself discipled? Do you understand the essential need for you to be a disciple? Or are you going to go and live casually all over again? You know, we oldies too can become very casual and think, you know, we've gone through life. Now it's for the young people. But who says this is for young people? This is for all of us, oldies and youngsters, right? And many of us oldies, we have never been real disciples. We have been nice Christians with a lot of ideas and activities and involvement. We've even complained about God, you know, after all I've done for God, why does He allow this and that to happen to me? But we haven't really been disciples. I hope you took to heart when I said, you don't have a right to be depressed. You don't have a right really to complain. You don't have a right to sin. You do sin. You can sin. You can get depressed. You will get depressed, but you don't have a right. You don't have a right to backslide. You will, but you don't have a right. See, as soon as you start thinking clearly, I don't have a right, what will you do? I don't have a right to sin. So when you sin, what will you do when you start reminding yourself, you don't have a right? Tell me. You'll stop it. You're sucking your big toe and feeling depressed. You know? You know little Jack Horner sat in a corner? You know that story? Eating his Christmas pie. Huh? Put in his thumb, pulled out a plum and said, you know that story? Auntie Mary taught you? I'll teach you in Hindi. You know Hindi? You know little Jack Horner? Sat in a corner? You don't know. Sumukh, you know it? In Hindi. Chota Jack Horner? Horner? Beta tha kona? Khate hua bada din ka pai? Usne anguta dala, kala jamun nikala? Aur bola kita achha ladka hum hai? Recorded. It is. That also got recorded. Do you want to have a conversation with me? Let's record it. So what will you do when you get depressed? And you remind yourself you don't have a right to. Don't give me a long speech. Get to the point. When you don't have a right and you do it, what should you do? What will you do?
Remind myself I belong to God.
You don't have a right to get depressed. You don't have a right to sin. So if you sin and you tell yourself you don't have a right, what will you stop doing?
Being depressed and sinning.
Yes. See? It works like it should. It's not magic. So read through 1 John. How many of you are going to read through 1 John? 10 times when you go home. Make that an assignment. Underline, mark your Bibles. Exclamations, asterisk. You decide what kind of marking you do. Just do it for yourself. For your good health. Spiritually speaking. Huh, Dev Priya? Do it. You can become a fantastic Christian when you are young. You don't have to grow old in age to be mature in Christ. I'm telling you, you don't have to grow old to be mature in Christ. You can be mature in Christ at that age. Did you realize that? You can be more mature than your parents. And your parents can feel so joyful and cry when they see, my goodness, my little Sumukh is mature. Daniel is mature. Parents, we should be coveting that. And if you haven't invested in your children to be mature, how many of you are going to do that much more, you know, intentionally? Work with your kids, work with your grandkids, and the first thing you should be doing is praying for them. Lord, help my child, help my grandchild to be mature. And even if you're imperfect parents, by the grace of God, He'll make your children mature. One of the tragedies at DCC has been, for instance, Dev Sarkar used to come back and tell me, you know, all the missionaries that work with DCC, their kids have gone astray. And he'd say, Chris, why? Today, we can look at one another and say, some of our families, kids are not really walking with God. It happens right at home. Because we are not, what? And we are not ourselves disciples of Jesus. We're taking it for granted. And we don't realize how much of that is bearing fruit, negative fruit, in the next generation and the next generation. Do you want to be proud of your kids? Do you want to be, you know, able to say, wow, you know, there's another generation of faithful believers, disciples. It is good to spend, I don't know if it was good. We were in the same room this morning. Early in the morning, the kids called Papa Prashant. And Papa Prashant said nice things to them and then said, don't forget to pray and see how you could do it on your own. That's enough. That's the little things you need to do. Are you investing in your children? Are you investing in the next generation? You pray, you be disciples, you be examples. You know, there's something or the other that we make mistakes about. And we know election, right? God saves whom He will, He chooses. But you know, you make a big contribution. You know, God chose you to be the parents. And those of you who are single and watching me, don't get married to the wrong people. Mess your lives. The majority of young people who have gone astray, and we were talking about it this morning, right? On what have they gone astray? Getting involved with the wrong girl or the wrong guy. Maybe believer, but not really serious believer. You know, we wonder if they're real believers. And in these days, I've seen believers or claimed believers divorce within the month or separate within the month, within 6 months. And you become a prayer burden rather than a dynamic Christian. What a headache you are to the church. Because you've got family issues, you've got all kinds of issues, you can't cope with sicknesses, you can't cope with trials, and you're always a burden on the church. Prayer meeting is full of you only. We're never praying for somebody else because there's so many needs amongst ourselves. We are all, you know, under so many trials. We can't cope with it. A disciple copes with trials. Tell me some verses about trials. Come on, you're supposed to. Yeah, tell me the verses. James chapter 1, look at it. What should happen when you have trials? God sends cancer, God sends sickness, God sends death, God sends financial problems. You don't turn on to Creflo Dollar and hear about how God can prosper you. You have financial needs, financial problems. Who do you look at? Not Joyce Meyer. She's really gone wacko. Alright? She needs to repent. Look at it. What does it say in chapter 1? You learned it by heart? So, who's going to whack you like you whack the kids when they don't behave themselves? Use this as a whack. Every time you complain and you feel depressed and you sin and you complain and you can't cope with trials and you're looking for someone's shoulder to cry on, read James 1:2. What does it say? Why? See that word knowing? See, you're not buddhus. You know. A disciple knows why the trials have come. Why did God send me sickness? Why did someone die whom I love very much and I depend on? Now I don't know how to make my coffee. God took away the coffee maker in my home. Or the dhobi who did all my laundry. Or the cook who cooked all my meals. What do I do? Whack myself with James 1. I know what. God wanted to straighten me out. See? I didn't deserve the person whom God took away. God straightening me out. What does he say? Knowing? Read it with some clarity so I can understand you. Do you have a right to complain? So stop complaining. Do you have a right to get depressed? So stop being depressed. Come on. Behave yourself. Disciple. You have no right. You got a disease. Stop hiding it. And join it. Count it all. Don't hide it. Don't start using all these gimmicks that the world gives you of trying to, you know, think positively or say what does Joyce Meyer and Benny Hinn and everybody else who's the Word Faith movement say? Speak the word of faith. Pray the prayer of faith. Claim it. No, you don't need to claim your healing or anointing or whatever. It's all hocus pocus. And don't tell me it works. Even if it works, it's bunkum. You don't want what works. And it's not in the Bible. The Bible says, when you get trials, count it all joy. And remember, God is testing your faith. So that, what happens? What does it say? You will develop. Yes. I don't need anything. It's not this arrogant saying, I don't need anything. Believing. Yes, okay. I have become mature. I don't need to depend on somebody else. I'm depending on God. And saying, God, I understand. You're testing me. You're making me tough. This is a trial to make you tough and straighten you out. Where's your focus? Where's your priority? Right? I don't listen to sound advice. God might even break my limbs. Right? John MacArthur wrote a book called Love of God. And his subtitle on that was, He will do anything, He will do anything to straighten you out because He loves you. Or something like that. God loves me so much, He'll straighten me out. Did you know that? Do you want God to love you more? What's He going to do? Huh?
He's going to make me free and
comfortable. You know, God's love doesn't give you goosebumps. He sometimes breaks your head. What other passage tells you about trials? Where? What is? Yes. Hey, listen. We're together. Yeah. Yeah, what?
Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised.
Good. Any other? You said Peter.
1 Peter 6.
What does he say?
In this he rejoiced that now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. So that the tested genuineness of your faith.
Are you genuine? You know, much of your faith and talk was just that, talk. And then you get trials. And you start saying, what? Why did I get it? Why me, Lord? Any other verse on trials? What does it say?
For we do not lose heart. For our outer self is wasting away and our inner self is being renewed day by day. It is light momentary. It is preparing for us an eternal way of glory beyond all comparison. Look not to things that are seen, but to things that are unseen.
Yeah.
Things that are seen are transient. The things that
are unseen. Our outward bodies are wasting away. I stay regularly. I'm going again next week to stay in their home. I have their key. 80 plus couple. She has sometimes two walking sticks. 80 plus. Has had multiple sclerosis from the age of 25. She's 80 plus now. She even picks up my suitcase. I say, Mom, stop it. You're not healthy enough to do that. No, sonny boy. You know, it's so good to have you here. Give me a big hug. Her husband had brain tumor when he was 25, back surgery a few years later, and he walks throwing his leg in front, drives me around. They love Christ. Not once do they complain. Every once in a while he's driving, he turns to the side, halts his car. He says, I'm going to get a seizure. Wait a couple of minutes, don't do anything. Okay, it's done, finished, let's go. I said, how do you know? He said, I get a warning sign. He's the first to volunteer every conference at Grace Community Church. Leave home at 5. He's out there from 6 greeting people. Never complain. Never. Chris, what do you need? Okay, let's go. early morning he'll wake up to make breakfast for me. Can you imagine? Are you going to be like that when you're old and falling apart? Why not? Why can't you decide to be like that? Why can't you choose to be like that? Why? Why not? Are you a Christian? Are you really? Are you a disciple? You know that song, "It Is Well With My Soul"? Who wrote it? And what happened to him before he wrote it? What inspired him to write it? What motivated him to write it? All his daughters, his wife in a shipwreck, and he stands at the seashore and he says, "It is well. It is well with my soul." Decide to be like that. They burnt the two children, same age. They burnt them alive in Orissa. They burnt the husband alive. I went and met Gladys and Esther. Esther was 13. Took them Alfonso mangoes. I said, "Gladys, I've never known about you, but I was told that you used to borrow John MacArthur tapes, so I've come. And John MacArthur is going to call you, but I've come to see you and just say thank you. You've been a terrific encouragement to us." Stood at the funeral with BBC, CNN, NDTV, everyone, mics in front. "What do you think of Dara Singh, who murdered your kids, burnt them alive, and killed your husband?" She said, "I forgive them." And she led the hymn singing with Esther, 13-year-old Esther. I told her, "Esther, you know, you've been such a wonderful model of a daughter who encourages her mom at this age. Keep it up." And her mom hugged her and said, "Esther has been such a strong tower for me." They sang, both of them, mother and daughter. Just a couple of days after this horrendous tragedy, "Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow." Why can't you be like that? Are you choosing to become like that now, at this age? Are you going to allow your kids to be like that? Is that what you want? Are you a model for them? If you're not, then you're just messing your whole family. And people will come when I'm 80 years old and say, "Why did DCC families become like that?" They ask me about EU families. Make up your mind. I mean, this is the best time to make up your mind. What are you going to be like? What kind of Christian are you going to be? Without spine, without real strength. I was speaking to elderly American missionaries in the northwest of America. I had been called to be a speaker for them. And I go to this conference and all these old ladies with walkers, you know, they're serving Christ even at 80, 85. And they're sitting there, and I told them, "You've served Christ longer than I have been alive, some of you. What have I got to say?" But I still have something to say, and I picked all the passages where God says, "Be strong, be strong, be strong, be strong." And I said, "You know, you have no right, even at your old age. Some of you," and I was on the board of their ministry. I said, "I know, all your money is gone. You're in old people's homes. You're going to retire. You have no retirement benefits. You have no right to complain." What did God say to Joshua? Moses died. Now you? Hey, what? Be strong, of good courage. What did Paul say to Timothy? Be strong in the grace of our Lord. Nowhere does it say God put his arm around and said, oh, you poor fellow, you know. You have no money, no mother, no father, no nobody. You come from a broken home. Poor you. God never says that. God says, get up, be strong. I had a couple of young people come to me, especially the sister. Spend time with me. Oh, you know, nobody loves me, nobody this, no. I said, you come to the wrong guy. I don't think anybody really loved me when I was growing up. I mean, so what? Oh, I come after a hard day's work, no one there to give me a cup of tea. I said, so what? I mean, what do you want from me? Sympathy. Wrong person. You don't need sympathy. You need the words what? Be. Wake up. Be strong. Right? Is this the message of the gospel? Be strong. You have no right to be weak. Oh yeah, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. You know all the verses, right? That you might say, yeah, it's in. Yeah, but my grace is sufficient for you to stop focusing on your weakness and focus on the grace that is mighty. Much more rather I would glory in my weakness so that the excellency of the power may be seen to be of God and not of us. We are earthen vessels glorying in the grace of God. So, you got it? Any other verse on trials? What does it say? For I consider as it's not even worthy. I like it when some politician has been bad mouth, and then they put a mic in front of him and say, what do you want? I won't even give him the worth of making a comment. You know what Paul says? It's not even worth talking about my problems. What a fool I am to share my problems when I compare it with the glory that will be ours in heaven. Where are you focused? You know, pastors, we do a disservice to our congregation members by saying, oh, you poor thing. You know, they need us, we need them. Especially their offering. So we keep on sympathizing. Get yourself together in the grace of God. Any other verse? What does it say?
To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example.
So it's a calling, Kalyani? It's a calling to suffer. I hope you're reading the text. Turn the pages. Don't just listen. Your brain doesn't have a recorder. Which other verse? Any other verse? The comfort. Yeah. When you suffer, God comforts you so that you can comfort others with the same comfort that God gives you. Any other verse? Finished?
I said 1 Peter says a lot.
So much. Yeah. Learn it by heart. You be fat. Faithful, available, teachable. What else? Any other verse? Romans 5? One of my favorites. chapter 5, verse 2 onwards. Not only this, justification by faith and the grace in which we stand, not only this, but we glory in our tribulations, because we know that. See, I want all this. You got it? Hey, that's a very, very important ingredient for being a disciple. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
See, now I've forced you to say it, no? No? Did I force you? No? You really mean it? Okay. Now, you know what's going to happen in Bombay Bible Church? No one's going to come for counseling.
Thank you.
Stephen will have more time to study, pray, and hold hands with Arpita. You don't have a pastor anyway. You know. See how God gave us Himself. I am the good shepherd. And Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall want. No, I shall not want. He's sufficient. But we still need each other, right? You know, we need each other to not just bear one another's problems. It is the problem of sin that we have to bear one another with. You know, we are not supposed to be sharing, pray for my big toe, pray for my scooter, it never works, pray that I'll get a car, pray that I'll get a job, pray that my daughter will find a good husband. These are not the prayer requests and the burdens we are to carry of one another. What are the burdens we are supposed to carry about one another? Galatians 6:2 says what? Bear one another's burdens. Which burden? The burden of sin. Because you're struggling with sin, there'll be more focus on dealing with our sin and sinfulness and helping one another get over those sins, and less about all these physical and material needs. Let that be with all these people who are evading tax anyways. On the television networks, God Channel and whatever else. The recent thing with God Channel is they're trying to raise a few billion bucks. Yeah, of your seed money. Yeah. So constantly. It's sick. But that was about the only English channel in Myanmar. God Channel. So I got to know a lot about God Channel. And I used to get depressed. And then what did I have to say to myself?
No right to be depressed.
You got it. You have no right to be depressed. See, I used to get really depressed. One person after another. Seed money. Making them billions. Anyway, where were we at? Have a break. No. Let's get to this. I've got some planned material. We need some anchors. Stephen mentioned some anchors. I hope you haven't forgotten the anchors he mentioned. Oh. We'll test you at lunch. Okay, Emma? You have to spend the kind of time with a person that will infect him or her with the passion you have for Christ and the Great Commission. Do you have passion? You get excited. Yeah. Have you ever got infected with something? You know, these days, in DCC, we have this, don't go and meet Saju, don't go and meet, don't kiss Sarara. Why? You get conjunctivitis and that's terrible. Poor Saju got a relapse. There'll be some people who will say, don't meet Daniel. If you meet him, he is crazy about Jesus. He'll infect me. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to be said about you? My goodness, I'm avoiding this guy, you know. He not only talks about football and hockey, you know, but he'll talk about football and hockey and very soon about Jesus. There used to be a person who used to purposely, he was not interested in cricket. Who cares what is an offside and what is the slip? I still don't know. You know. What's a slip? What's a sticky wicket? Hey, what's that? But you know guys who are so crazy about it and you want to win him for Christ, go and find out, hey, what's the sticky? I want to watch the cricket show. And then while you're watching, you know, inject him with a little bit of Jesus Christ. You got it? So you've got to spend time to infect your friends with your passion for Christ. A discipler leaves footprints in the lives of those who want to grow in Christ. Footprints in their hearts, in their minds. They're never the same when they meet you. You know this Dr. Chitre? Huh? I didn't know him except when he was a student in Mirats. And then I was told by Benji once to go to him because I didn't know who he was because I'd forgotten. And he had to test me for any neurological problems. And the first thing he told me is, I know you. And I said, you know me? I don't know you. He said, I know every question I asked and every answer you gave me. I've never forgotten you. I said, where? He said, in the hostel in Mirat. Oh, you're that fellow? He said, I even remember wearing your juba. I used to wear only jubas. Jubba, whatever. Jabba. I used to have 5 or 6, and these Mirage medical students would take my shirts, okay. And on the final day of my visit, they would all wear that. And we'd all march in this costume. And so he said, I remember you. See, footprints on their hearts and minds makes a lasting impact. I said, I don't remember what answers I gave you, what your questions were, but it's great. I hope you know Jesus. I was told that every morning, before he leaves his home, he prays with his family. Wonderful. Foundational anchors, life to life anchor number one. What do you think it is? Turn to 1 Thessalonians 1. Jaldi karo. 2 and 3. The one who finds it, read it loud, as if you are in a big fight. Pray for your disciples. It's critical. Basing your ministry on anything but prayer, real prayer is an assault on the integrity of Christianity. You get it? You're really a dishonest Christian. A brazen act of the flesh, a painful offending of the Holy Spirit. Apply. Pray for them using scripture. Do you know how to pray? I'll teach you. Not our Father who art in heaven, but Colossians 1. Look at it. Then if you exhaust that prayer, pray Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 onwards. When you exhaust that prayer, Ephesians 3. I'm telling you, look at all the prayers in the Bible. You can buy a book, All the Prayers in the Bible. Herbert Lockyer. If you were young, I would say, give me a hug. Alright, you can still.
She said, what an insult.
Joking. I just said if you were older. Right. Too late. See, make mistakes. But are you getting it? Pray the prayers of the Bible. Pray those prayers. I pray that your love, Philippians chapter 1, will abound more and more. I pray that Atul's love for Christ will abound more and more. I pray, Lord, help Atul to abound more and more in love for you. With knowledge and discernment, that he may approve what is excellent. Lord, that's my prayer for him. Is that how you pray? Or you're constantly praying, Lord, help him to come on time to church, help him to get rid of Oaks classes. Who cares? If he really loves aboundingly, what's going to happen? He'll know how to get all those other things sorted out in his life. Are you getting it? Use scripture. Then go pray with them. Be aware of the Holy Spirit. We should be conscious of the presence of God. Very often when I'm talking to someone, I'm also talking to God. This is the only exercise, spiritual exercise, where you can talk to two people without them knowing you're talking to two people. You know? Each time you're having a conversation with someone, in your mind and heart, without moving your lips and muttering, you can be asking the Lord to guide you, to be in control, to be in charge, to give you wisdom, to help you have insight. You getting it? Get a prayer partner. Pray together with someone for this person. But don't let it become a session where you pray with somebody else about somebody else, and then that somebody else goes and tells somebody, you know, Atul, we were praying for you because you have this, that and the other problem. How is it sorting out? And instead of his problem being sorted out, he's going to have another problem. Please be careful. Key passages. We're not reading it, but you can take these verses down. And if you want the PowerPoint, you can have it. Ephesians 1, 15 to 23, Ephesians 3, 14 to 21, John chapter 17, learn shorthand. Philippians 1, 3 to 11, Colossians 1, 9 to 14, 2 Thessalonians 1, 11 and 12. You know, in Myanmar, these pastors are very clever. They have these phones with camera. So every time I'm teaching, they come to the board and click, click. So they got how many slides of things on their cameras? Second anchor. 1 Thessalonians 1, 4 and 5. Read it. They speak in the original about the worth of a person. I'm putting here, God can use a person. God can use a person. God can work in a person. God can do things to a person and through a person. What's the verse? Anybody read it? Do you fight with anybody, Theophil? Do you ever fight? He never fight. You know Ephesians 2:10? Yes, for we have been created, ? What's the rest? In Christ Jesus, for good works that He has planned or foreordained for us, right? If God has planned the works that I should do even before I was born and before the creation of the world, I need to discover that, and you need to help me discover what God has planned for me to do. What is the proof? You know, when we get saved, what happens in heaven? Huh, Santosh? When you got saved, what happened in heaven? The angels had a party. When you got saved, what did you become? What does God say you are? Precious. Precious. He's got preordained plans for you. Now just think. Oops. What happened? Press the wrong button. Focus on the individual. More time spent with fewer people equals greater lasting impact for God. And please stop all this partying and just meeting for meals and going to the movies. And spend more time in discipling each other. If you collect all that money that you spend on coffee, movies and give it to me, okay? I'll buy my next flight for Myanmar. It's really worthwhile sitting in a place where you can focus with few people and make a lasting impact for Christ for eternity. Your life will be useful. Show them possibilities. See, this is envisioning people. You have a vision, and your own vision about this kind of ministry will increase as you see God give you success. God bless your efforts. Isn't it going to be fascinating when someone comes to know Christ through you? You're going to say, wow, let me try one more time. Then someone starts reading the Bible because of you. And says, you know, because of you, I went and bought a concordance. And I'm studying the Bible. Because of you, I learned how to pray. Huh? And when you meet with each other, what will you be talking about? What do you presently talk about? Most of the time, what is the chatter? Lunch break will come. What will you talk about? You know what you're going to talk about. What are you going to talk about? What should you be talking about? Consciously, intentionally, make up your mind to talk about Jesus, to talk about spiritual things. You are disciples, and it's not boring. You don't have to do it all the time, but every conversation should be toned with, colored with, talk about, conversation about, chatter about spiritual matters. Really, that should be normal. Usefulness applications, really. Read of great people and missionary biographies. You know, when I was young, from 15 to about 20, because I started reading and I had no money. Believe you me, I had no money. But I started reading, and many Christian missionaries and leaders in Pune found I loved reading. So you know what they would do? They would give me books. And they kept giving me books. And most of the books that I read, I had at least 200 biographies between the age of 15 to 20. Yeah, Christian biographies. Simple ones, short ones, big ones. And now I'm totally confused. You know, is it William Carey or Adoniram Judson? Or, you know, I got all these stories. But you know, the crux of the essence of the whole thing, I'm pretty inspired and motivated by all these dead men and women. One of my heroes was is Mary Slessor. Have you heard of Mary Slessor? The White Queen of the Cannibals? I mean, I used to love reading about her taking her umbrella under her arm and going and sitting with these dark pygmy chiefs in dark Africa, and they would be talking peace, having peace talks, and if they didn't behave, the Scottish short lady would take umbrella and hit the chief on the head, say shut up and cooperate. Wow, you know, tough lady. Read biographies. Don't just read Jonathan Edwards and Spurgeon, read missionary biographies. Then read the stories of great men like Abraham Lincoln or Jawaharlal Nehru, and you know, just read secular stuff too and see what happened to these people. But more, read the biographies of Christians whom God used. Listen and watch tapes, CDs. Get to websites that are going to inspire you. The whole morning, Prashant was only talking about R.C. Sproul and some Muslim guy he was listening to, you know. I mean, great. Now I feel tempted to ask him, hey, can I have a copy of that? You know, since you liked it so much, do Bible studies from the Bible on how God used Moses and Noah and Aaron and Jonah and Ruth and Esther and all these great people. Get them around others who are clearly being used by God. Go and spend time with people who are serving the Lord. And find out what they're doing. How do they do it? Why do they get inspired? Why do they not go and work in a secular company? Life to life anchor number 3. It's lunchtime. We'll come back for it. No? Not yet? Oh. I'm glad, because I want you to have some discussion. Is it number 4? Third, read 1 Thessalonians 2, 1 to 6. Make the Bible your cornerstone. You will never know defeat when you hold up the word of God and bathe your ministry in prayer, trusting in God, depending on God. That's prayer. And then you know the word of God and you use the word of God and your mind translates the word of God, paraphrases the word of God. So even when you don't have the Bible with you, you're speaking the word of God to people. Remember the word hand? What is it? Hear? Hear, read, study, memorize, meditate and memorize. Okay. Word applications. Make the word hand strong in their lives. Every time you shake hand, say, okay, what's the thumb? Tell me, what's the thumb? What's this pointing finger?
Memorize.
Yes, pointing at you, Rita. Memorize. What's this middle finger?
Study.
Study. What's this finger? The ring finger. Read. And then this one?
Yeah.
Good. So every time you shake hands, say, what's the hand? Then the prayer hand. Remember the prayer hand. We'll come to it again. Create an atmosphere, culture of sharing the word. What did you read today? What did you memorize? Talk about it. Don't feel shy. Show them how to make applications of the word. Play games about it, you know. Hey, I had two friends in Grace to You. They want to lose weight. So every time someone lost a pound, he put a dollar in the box. And then the one in 1 month, the one who lost most would take all the money. You get it? So for every pound, a dollar, each one put. And by the end of the month, okay, you can do something like that with memory verses. You can do something like that with sharing from your quiet time. Play games. Show how to make applications from the Word of God. What do you read? How are you going to obey it? Talk about it in fellowship times. Fourth anchor, 1 Thessalonians 2. Read it from 6 to 9. What is it? So what is it? Serve your disciples. Serve them. As a mother gives herself to children, serving literally night and day, in sickness, when tired, when misunderstood, lonely, forsaking her own needs, she serves and keeps on serving. Why? Because she loves and therefore she has a heart to do what seldom is seen and what few appreciate. I'll never forget my mom. Leaky house, 5 kids, all night, I wake up in the morning, see her sitting at the table with my little sister, covering her with her body so that she doesn't get wet. And in the morning, she would have breakfast ready, even in poverty. Mother always cared. Why? She never said, I love you, or honey baby, you know, nothing like that. But she demonstrated it, right? So you serve. The sense of serving, not your interests. You've got to give up. Make a list of your own interests. Come on. What interests you? Make a list. What are you interested in? What do you like to do? What do you like? What do you like? If when you have time, when you have money, what do you like to do? What do you like to spend on? Put a list. Make a list. And then I'm going to ask you to do something with that list. Make a list. What do you like? What are your interests? You got to decide what your interests are. What do you like? How do you like to spend your time, extra time? How do you like to spend your extra money? Or even your not so extra money? What do you like to do? What are you comfortable with? What are your interests? What games do you like to play? What conversations do you like to talk about? What are your interests in conversation, in games, in entertainment, in whatever? What are your interests? What are they? Wrote down some? This is your choice, right? This is your interest. Now you want to serve somebody else. What are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do? Throw your interests away. Put a cross across your interests. I'm not going to do these things. I'm not going to do these things. I'm going to find out what interests the other person. You got it? See, this is what I like to do, but I'm not going to worry about what I like to do. I'm going to worry about what he likes to do. Not your needs, but their needs. Make a same list, similar list of your needs. What do you need? You need to be loved. You need to be approved. You need to be, you know, pandered to. You need to be heard. You need to someone to listen to you. You need love. You need this. You need that. Put a cross across it and say, I will look for the needs of others, right? Are you all doing it? Not your desires. What do you desire? What are your desires? Make a list. Put a cross on it and say, I will serve others' needs and others' desires. Not your life first, but theirs. Is there a Bible verse for it? It is. Why don't we obey it? See, when we don't obey it, we are not disciples. We're just selfish people who are living like unsaved people. Right? See, we have to change by the grace of God because we love Christ. We're passionate about Him. And if we have intimacy with Him, what's going to happen? It's going to change. Serve applications. Spend time with your disciples. Take him or her with you. Go with them. Look for ways to lift the load. You know, you can find out from spending time with people what they're burdened about. And you can say, hey, you know, the Lord has led me to help you with that. I'm going to just buy it for you. Then you don't have to worry about that, right? Now we can get on with the spiritual. Do it. And you'll be surprised. People will be saying, no. And then we'll take the help. And we pray that God will help us to take a share in the loads that hinder the other's spiritual life. What's hindering you? What's hindering you? What's bugging you? What's stalling you? What's stagnating you? You don't ask those questions first. You pray and ask God to give you insight. You know, that means you've got to have a wallet that doesn't spend for you. You know, if I'm constantly spending and splurging on myself, then when I meet someone I want to disciple and that person has financial needs, what can I do? I'm broke. Now, this is not the discipling situation where you get to someone who's asking you for money. No, no, no. This is someone who is really serious about being discipled. This person is not the beggar, the parasite, the one who takes advantage of you. That kind of person, you've got to disciple out of that habit. I tell such a person, okay, I'm going to give you work to do. And they run away. Huh? You got to work for your living. Don't keep asking me. But you understand, I've got to spend less on myself. Same thing with time. If I am committed to, I have to watch this serial, I have to watch this race, I have to watch this game, I have to do all these things, you know, eat and whatever we fix time on, and it's inflexible. If you're living an inflexible life, what's going to happen? When someone has an emergency need, you have no time, right? Because you can't give up your prior commitments that are so fixed. You're so inflexible. So money, time, what about your emotions? If you yourself are all emotionally in knots, what's going to happen? You know? Have you seen cat with wool? Have you seen cat with wool? They love playing with a ball of wool. By the end of it, they have tied it up in knots. That's discipling one emotional person, discipling another emotional person. Wonderful knots. Make their immediate needs more important than your well-intentioned plans. I go with, today I'm going to teach Atul how to have his quiet time. And that guy is sucking his big toe, depressed because he lost his job. And I'm saying, did you have your quiet time? And he's saying, no, I want to suck my big toe. I can pick on Atul, right? And I'm saying, no, I came with a plan, Atul. Come on, focus. No, I've got to say, okay, you lost your job. Let's talk about it. I can't give him a job, but I listen. And you know something, sometimes what happens? I'm listening. Suddenly God says, hey, you know, you can call someone who might employ him. You get it? And Atul stops worrying about his job and he says, okay, hey, why did you actually come? I say, okay, now let's talk about quiet time. You got it? Work on the immediate need. Get it out of the way. Model Christ-likeness. What is 2:10 of 1 Thessalonians? Read it. Someone asked you this morning, right? From your home, Prashant, whether you prayed. Yes. Interesting. Dada, did you pray? Yeah, I'm praying. I'm calling you. See, you have to model. So you had said, you pray, but I'm not praying. That's not good. Luke 6:40, we've already seen that. A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Modeling applications. See, this cannot be overemphasized. Intimacy with Christ. Practice what you preach. Let them see what you do. Number 6. This is a tough one. Verse 11 and 12. It's a tough one. And in our churches we have to do it. Deal with the issues. Read chapter 2, 11 and 12. Read it, please read it. Summary, we just said behave yourself, you know. We dealt with their behavior. Unwilling to encourage, comfort, confront is paramount to deserting your obligations as a spiritual parent. And let's hear this, okay? Many of us hate to be corrected. Hate to be corrected. And I would also reject being corrected if you suddenly pounce on me and say, hey, you know, we want to confront you on this. So you build up a relationship, but you deal with the issues, right? I got to deal with this. Hey, we were 3 of us in Myanmar. And one went to get some apple or something. The other guy, he said, hey, Chris, I need to tell you something. You did wrong. See? Found a private time. And he told me, you did this, that was not nice. What did I do? I thought about it. Half right, half wrong. The time is short. I'm so sorry. Thank you for pointing it out. Thank you, Chris, for listening to me. Let's get on. You got it? Deal with the issues. To deal, be real. Rhymes, huh? To deal, be real. You got to be transparent yourself. Do you have struggles? Ask the hard questions. One time, Chandapilla, and I don't want you to be embarrassed, but that's what he did. We're having lunch, you know. Having lunch at staff conference. So he came to me and he said, hey Chris, I want to talk to you about your sex life. And he went right to the corner there and left me there, ha 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 ha. So I went up to him. I said, let's sit down and talk. Hard question, right? He said, okay. Chanda said, tell me everything. So I told him everything. You don't want to know? You got it? Deal with the issues. Ask the hard questions. And it's very helpful when you build up a relationship. How deep do you want to go? How serious do you want to get? How seriously are you in your own discipleship? And do you want to disciple others in a serious way? Alright? Tell them what they need to hear. Not what they want to hear, but what they need to hear. Hey, I find you spending too much time with, and deal with it. Develop an accountability relationship. Pray, prayer and word. The word, serve, model, deal. Can you do it? Can you get involved in one another's lives in your own churches? What's going to happen if you do it? Tell me. Let's share. What will happen at DCC, at Wakad, at Mumbai Bible Church? What will happen? Okay, get me a little bit more specific. What will happen? Those are all nice Christian answers. Some people might leave. Did you think of that? Some people might leave. Some people leave. You might make mistakes. Yeah. So what should you be prepared to do when you do this? And make mistakes.
Repent.
Apologize. Repent. Go to that fellow and say, hey, you know, I blew it. I'm so sorry. Don't leave the church because of me. Stupid me. I'm so sorry. I blew it. I shouldn't have done that. What else is going to happen? You can do it. What else is going to happen to you? You'll start doing what? You'll make sure you have your? How many times? Because someone might ask you, did you have your quiet time? And you say, why did you tell me to have my quiet time? You didn't. You'll be doing what? What else would you be doing? Praying. Being accountable. Finding someone to be over you. See, all these things will happen. It's not just, oh, we'll be mature, we'll become a growing church, we'll this, we'll that. No, no, no. That's nice Christian cushy answers. The whole rock will be boated. What's that called? The whole boat will be rocked. Upheaval. Your whole life will get disciplined. Did you know that, Devpriya? That will happen in your life. Do you want it to happen in your life, Shama? Santosh? Rajesh? Sachin? See, it is a choice you have to make individually. This is going to happen. What's going to happen to your money if you can do it? What do you think will happen to your money? You really have to decide how much you keep. I want you to do an exercise, 5-minute exercise. Okay? First column, hide your writing. Don't let anyone see. How much do you make every month? How much? Don't tell me. How much do you make? Totally, how much do you give away? I'm not asking to your church, but how much do you give away? And some of you get pocket money, so you have to write. You get pocket money, or you get birthday gifts and whatever. How much do you get every month? How much do you give? So how much do you keep? Fourth column. First column, how much do you get each month? Second column, how much do you give away? Donate, put an offering, you know. No. I'm not talking about paying things. Giving away. Giving away for others. And I'm not talking about birthday gifts, anniversary gifts, and you know, ice cream and all that. I'm talking about really giving for a cause, for the church, for the Lord's work, and for someone in need. Alright, you got two columns. The third column, how much do you keep to pay your own bills and to, you know, have your own life? Fourth column. Compared to column 2, is there going to be a significant change after this camp? How much? And it doesn't have to go to your church, it can go to whatever, you know. Someone has said your wallet is the barometer of your spiritual life. Just as your prayer life is a barometer of your spiritual life, Bible reading is a barometer of your spiritual life. These things are crucial. Make a similar in those four columns. How much time do you spend in prayer? Every day. Is anything going to change substantially? How much more time? Second column. Third column, who all should you be praying for? Another thing with the word, a chart with the word, how much time do you read the word every day? Separate from prayer. How much more are you going to read every day? What plan, third column, what plan will you use for your Bible reading? See, all it takes, back to the sheet, all it takes is desire, another person, the Bible, and a little time. You got it? Are you ready? Now I hit the right button. So Vishal, why don't you pray and also thank God for the lunch.